Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Thank you. I tell you everything I know about justice. When I screw up, I have no interest in justice. When other people screw up, I want justice. I don't want to have anything to do with... half the time I'm asking for justice, and the other half of the time I'm asking to be saved from justice. And that's part of the problem we have with all this injustice going on in the world. So you have to look at ourselves sometimes. And I think the hardest part of dealing with things that just aren't right, where we just want this stuff to change and to be better, the hardest part is feeling like we're too small and we're too powerless and we don't have what it takes to make an impact. Let's look at this verse right here. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Number, go rush ahead now. Come back now. Go, Therese, go back there. Go to the other one. Not that one, though. There you go. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. So this is the idea here, is that we have this this sense of, I'm just at the beginning of turning my life around. I'm just at the beginning of making a difference in the world. And that beginning is so small, of changing the world that I live in and changing my life and changing my family's life and changing the life of my neighborhood. That thing is so small. But we forget what this thing, he says, the end is going to be better than the beginning. We can't just look at the beginning of this thing and look down on it. And I think when I'm in church, I'm going to be honest with y'all. The people I see in church that are new look down on themselves a lot. And I think a lot of that is just that sense of, I'm starting so small that I'm ashamed that I'm starting at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. This is, you know, the end is going to be fine, but it's better to be patient than to try and answer to that pride. You know, everybody going to church wants to be the holiest one in there and know the most Bible, blah, 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 this and that. But what this verse is saying here is it's better to be patient, knowing that this is going to have a happy ending, knowing this is going to go to a better place. Amen? Amen. Now here's the thing. I want you to think about Jesus. We tell a lot of stories about the Bible. We tell a lot of stories about the disciples, and all of it kind of starts to run together in your head. But let's take a step backwards and really think about it. This is Jesus now. He says, I'm going to start a ministry. And this ministry is going to circle the globe. Almost every single man, woman, and child on the planet will hear this message that I'm sending out. And people will follow me 2,000 years later based on what I'm going to do here. Okay? That's what Jesus says. Now, he finds 12 guys who don't know which end goes up. Not educated. He did not pick a seminary professor, a college graduate, a philosopher, a pastor, a rabbi. He didn't pick any of those people. This guy's fishing. You, come here. Come follow me. You're going to fish after people instead of fish. Come on, let's go. See what I'm saying? He didn't pick the smart ones. And he didn't pick the smart ones on purpose. Smart ones are too smart to follow Jesus. The rest of them, they're freed up to where they're going to follow Jesus. So you see, Jesus picked these 12 guys. Now, where did he start this amazing ministry that lasts for thousands of years and circles of God? Where was he doing this? He's doing this in a place called Galilee. Okay, if you don't know where Galilee is, Galilee is the middle of nowhere. Galilee is the country. Country. You understand? Chickens and cows and pigs and stuff. You understand? He wasn't in the big city spreading that message as far and wide as he could. There was more chickens where he was at than people. Jesus never traveled any further while he was spreading this message than where his own feet took him. He didn't travel far and wide and, you know, sat down with big important people. It was just 12 dudes walking in the country. This whole thing I'm telling you about took place over 3 years, and then Jesus broke. He went back to heaven. 3 years, 12 dudes, middle of nowhere. How did this word ever get out? How is it that you are following this religion now, 2,000 years later? Think about that. It had to be passed from person to person to person to person until it got to you. You see, Jesus picked these people because he said, this guy may not be the smartest guy in the room. This guy might, to everybody else, may not be amazing, but I know this brother here will spread this message. I know this brother here will share this. I know this sister over here, this one, she's messed up. She's the one person in town no one will have anything to do with. I'm going to lead her forward into a relationship with God. The whole town's going to be so impressed and blown away. They're all going to follow me just off of her. Jesus could see that. Why am I telling you this story? Because you are our investment. I could pick any people in the world to preach to. Don't get it twisted. Y'all aren't the only room full of people I could think of to talk to. You don't know. Believe me. Well, let me tell you what. The fancy and important people listen to me preach too. Okay? It's amazing. But, you see, when I talk with them and I deal with them, I get the sense they're missing something here. They don't understand something about the way the world works. But when I talk to you here, when I talk to these brothers down at the jailhouse, that they're sitting in that Bible study on that deck and trying to work things out, they've gone through some things and they have a viewpoint on things where they get how this thing works. And here's what I say to myself. If I invest my life into this brother's life, he's going to go on and do amazing things. He's going to change this neighborhood. He's going to do amazing things. I'm not trying to change the neighborhood. I'm not trying to change the whole. I'm not trying to be the famous one with whatever. I'm trying to get you to do that. And maybe it's going to be your child or your grandchild that will go on to do that as you hand that on and pass that on. See, I'm not doing this. We're not doing this with you to try and get something out of you. We're trying to do this to build something in you so that you pass that on to someone else. I'm making an investment here, and I couldn't pick a bet. This is the one I want to invest in. That's why you're here. That's what this meeting is. We were talking about, we had a peace rally over here the other day. They asked me to speak, and I got up and said some really important things. And everyone was impressed. And I gave a quote from a famous theologian named G.K. Chesterton. And if your name is G.K. Chesterton, then you can be a famous theologian because the name fits. You know what I mean? If you're Leroy or Billy Bob or Rufus, you can't be a famous theologian. I don't know why that is, but those are the rules. So a famous theologian, he was in London, he was over in England, they put a thing in the paper, they said, we want you to send in a telegram, this is a long, long time ago, send in a telegram and tell us what's wrong with the world today. Why is the world going wrong today? What's the thing that's causing the world to be a worse place today? And G.K. Chesterton sent in a telegram that said, I am. I'm what's wrong with the world. See what I'm saying? He pointed a finger at himself. Everybody else is trying to say, you. And you're right. I mean, you could point a finger in almost any direction from here and say, you are doing something wrong, all of you people. You need to clean up your act. But that's not getting much done, is it? But if I change my life and I transform my life, other people will pay attention to that, won't they? Some of you, your old friends and family, they haven't got the memo on the new you, right? Some of you, you've made changes and you have shocked some people. They're looking at you like, what is it? What? They don't know what to think of it yet. That's because you're making an impression with what the Lord is doing in your life. See, you have transformed you. And that means, and of course the Lord is the one that's given you the power to do that, but that means other people want to hear what you have to say about their lives. See? You have that credibility, and that's what we want to look at, is by changing ourselves and dealing with that man in the mirror, we're going to have much more of a voice in the world. You know, there's an old, you probably heard this several times, but there's an old story that preachers tell about there was a storm, and this storm washed up thousands of starfish on this beach. And the starfish are all up and down the beach, and the sun's coming out, and all these starfish are going to dry out, and they're all going to die on the beach. And there's a little kid, and he's picking up, there's thousands of them, a little kid picking up starfish and throwing them back in the water, and pick up another one, throw it back in the water. And the old man comes up the beach, and he says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm throwing the starfish back so they don't die. And he says, how do you hope to make a difference? There's thousands of them. And kid picks up a starfish. He says, well, it makes a difference to that one. Throws it back in the water. You see what I'm saying? Some people want to kind of depress you with that big picture look at things. They want to depress you with the larger situation. They want to manipulate your emotions with that and try and give you the negative viewpoint on that. I'm just trying to deal with the person in front of me. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a difference in your life because I know you're going to make an amazing difference in someone else's life. I know that. I don't have doubts about that. I don't have worries about that. I know the investment that we put into you is definitely going to pay off. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. People, there's lots of talk out in the world, but by doing what you're doing, by working your recovery, by getting your life back together, getting that little job together, getting that little place where you're staying, by working those steps, people see this is a brother who knows how to take it from the bottom to the top. And when that brother says, here's what we need to do to change things, everybody needs to pay attention to that. Because here's a brother who knows. Here's someone who's taken it from the bottom to the top. That's why we're investing in you. That's why you're important. That's why we're all here. Amen? Amen. We love you. We love you. And y'all bring up Jeff Brewer. Let's hear it.